Good evening. Glad to see everybody out this evening. I forgot to let Chris know that Ashley and Colt are not here because Colt's running a fever, so she's at home with them. So keep them in a prayer, in the prayers, please. And again, good to see everybody, and I want to thank the elders for this opportunity to get up here and preach to y'all this fifth Sunday. And if you want to, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. That will be our starting point here in just a few moments. In every great battle our country has fought, one of our greatest weapons is our Navy. And even now in this war against terrorism, our great ships serve a very valuable purpose. And our leaders utilize these ships to do various things in the war. Now, if we took away this aspect of our defense, this aspect of our attack capabilities, we wouldn't be the formidable foe that America is today. Now, in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 14 through 16, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst, and underline this, amidst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in that day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. So Paul here talks about the wickedness that we as Christians face in the world today. And just like the America, the church is always in the midst of a battle because the church exists among the wicked, just as we as Christians do. And she is opposed on every side. And we know that the leader of this opposition, of course, is the devil. But Paul assures us Christians of a final victory, providing that we faithfully use the divine aids that God has given to us. So this evening, we're going to talk a little bit about the Christian ships of salvation. The first ship we're going to talk about is discipleship. And a disciple means a pupil, a student, a learner. If you flip over to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, it talks about disciple. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. But one might be a disciple, but not be a Christian, like Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, verse 1 through 2. But one cannot be a Christian and go to Jesus and not be a disciple. And if you flip over to John chapter 6, we'll see that. John chapter 6, verse 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. So if we go to Jesus being a Christian, then we must have discipleship. Now, some of the signs of whether one is being a disciple of Christ, of course, are we fruit-bearing? Do we have love for one another? If you look while you're in John, flip over a few pages to John chapter 13 and verse 35. John 13, 35. Actually, let's start in verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And of course, we have to abide in Christ's doctrine, in Christ's word. In John chapter 8, just flip a few pages back to John chapter 8, verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." So the first ship of our salvation is discipleship. Next, we have to have citizenship. Now, we belong to a state which is out of sight according to the world, but we as Christians, we know what state that is, and that is in heaven. And we see heaven by faith. And like you, I understand that citizenship has certain privileges and carries certain honors. Now, Paul was a Roman citizen, and we are American citizens. Now, there were three ways to become a Roman citizen. First was by birth, second by gift, and third by purchase. Well, likewise, there are three ways to become a heavenly citizen. The first is by birth. In John, flip back a few pages, in John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So that's by birth. Now, by gift, flip over to 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. So it was a gift, because the Father bestowed it upon us." And then third, by purchase. In 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 19. "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot," by purchase. Now, in every battle, it matters what citizenship you possess, and our Christian battle is no different. Now, as a citizen of the U.S., we must conduct ourselves befitting of our country, and we must obey the laws of our country. And we must take pride in being a citizen of our country. And then likewise, in our battles against Satan, the Christian and the church must practice conduct befitting their citizenship, our citizenship. We must obey the laws of heaven and take pride in being a citizen of God's kingdom. So the next ship of our salvation, citizenship. Next, we're going to look at fellowship. Now, fellowship means having things in common. It would be wrong for Americans to fellowship those who fight against us. And likewise, the Christians mustn't fellowship sin. And you can see that in Ephesians chapter 1, if you like to follow along with me. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." Now, that's not saying that we don't talk to ungodly people. That's not the case. We have to talk to people to spread God's word, but we mustn't fellowship with them. Now, our fellowship, though, is with God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and with one another. And if you go back to 1 John chapter 1, 1 John 1, verse 3, That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now drop down to verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So our third ship of salvation, we must have fellowship. Next, we must have workmanship. Now, we are created in Jesus to be His workmanship, of which we mustn't be ashamed. If you turn with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we are to maintain good works for Christ because that is what's profitable for us. And look over in Titus chapter 3, verse number 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. And the result of our workmanship brings blessings. Look over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 8. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us His Holy Spirit. So the fourth ship of our salvation is our workmanship. Next is our stewardship. Now, what is a steward? It is one who takes care of things that does not belong to them, or that belongs to another. Now, what kind of stewards are we to be? Well, first, we are to be good stewards. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Next, we are to be a just steward. And you can flip over to Luke chapter 16. I'll be reading verses 1 through 8. This is the parable of the unjust steward. Luke 16, verses 1 through 8. He also said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be a steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my master has taken his stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. I have resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, how much do you owe? So he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, take your bill and write 80. So the master commanded the unjust steward, because he had dwelt shrewdly, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. Now next, we are to be a faithful steward. And you can see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. So we must be faithful stewards. Now, our bodies belong to the Lord. The church belongs unto the Lord. In our battles that we will fight, it's better to fight if we remember what we are fighting for, and what we are fighting for belongs to God. So the fifth step of our salvation, of our salvation is our stewardship. Next is our friendship. In every battle, one must have allies or friends that they can count on to help them overcome the enemy. Now, our friends are not those of the world. Flip over to James chapter 4. We'll see that. James talks about that. James chapter 4, verse 4. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy, underline that, an enemy of God. Now, our friends are the Godhead, God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And we can see that in John chapter 15, verse number 14. John 15, 14. And this is Jesus speaking. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. And of course, friendship with other Christians. And you can see that in 3 John 14. 3 John 14 reads, but I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Be peace to you. Our friends greet you, and greet the friends by name. So the sixth ship of our salvation is we must have friendship. The next ship is our hardship. Now, anything worth keeping is worth fighting for. America is worth keeping. The soul and the church is worth keeping. And so as we gladly defend our country, we must defend the church and our souls from the devil. And the Christian sometimes must suffer at times for God. And some will suffer for the gospel. Now, if you look over in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel, according to the power of God. So we see Paul suffered for the gospel. And Paul also told Timothy, in 2 Timothy in chapter 2, verse 3, he said, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then if you look over in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy in verse 5, but you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. And so hardship is what makes men of boys and women of girls. And tonight, if there's any here who has not obeyed the gospel, has not called God their Father, has not had the forgiveness of their sins through baptism, I would ask that you would come forward this evening. Or if you are a Christian and you have gone back into the world, please come forward as we stand and sing.